Home. This is another episode of Five Songs With. I'm your host, Renita Bankert, as always, and I am not live in the studio today. I'm at home, social distancing, as I'm sure all of you are, and thank you for doing so, because by keeping your distance, being strict, making sacrifices, we are helping protect people who really, really need it. And as I know and love a lot of those people, I really appreciate it. I know it's tough for all of us right now, but we're all going to do it together. And my contribution to you today is a new Five Songs With to hopefully help give you an hour of entertainment. I have, as always, another hour of new music, old music, music from all over the world, and a bunch of history and information to impart upon you. So I hope that you enjoy learning, because we're going to do it right now. If it's your first episode of Five Songs With, welcome, welcome. I do sound a little different than I usually do, but that's because, you know, home studios be like that. Every week on Five Songs With, I play you five songs that are very, very different, but they have one key thing in common. And then in the second half of the show, I tell you all about what that thing is. And I lay a ton of trivia and history and fun facts on you. And sometimes I just rant about things that I like. It all comes together. This week, I thought I would pick something that's kind of interesting, that's fun and light, and will give you some really interesting, lively tunes to listen to from all over the world. So I'm really excited to start. It's something that I'm definitely personally interested in, so I might get a little tangential, but that's how it goes. And I hope that you enjoy it as well. Let's start it off right away. Our first song today is a song called Soleares from the Lutes de Luz Ensemble.
Thank you.
Do you like how I said ensemble, like in like it as if I was speaking French? Ensemble? I feel bad saying ensemble. It just sounds wrong. Anyway, this is a mysterious group to kick off the hour today. I could not find very much information about this group online, and I did try. Except the one thing I found was a Folkways article. You know I've used Folkways before on this show. This article named them as an excellent example of traditional musical styling for this particular kind of music. And this track is off of a 2006 album. There will be more information to come. Do not fear. I will provide you with more context, but not now because I don't want you to know the theme. It's time now for our second song, a very well-known track from Ravi Shankar. This is his piece, Tarana.
Ding, 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 ding
So as I mentioned before, this is a very well-known piece from legendary Indian musician and composer of Hindustani classical music, Ravi Shankar. He was the best-known proponent of the sitar in the second half of the 20th century, and he influenced many other musicians throughout the world. No stranger to experimentation, Shankar also collaborated with and inspired a number of musicians and composers outside of his genre, notably the Beatles and Philip Glass and many more. He was part of that. Do you remember we talked recently about that raga rock history of British and American music when rock bands began to take influence from Indian musicians? He definitely played a role in that, and his use of the sitar definitely influenced guitar stylings in psychedelic bands around that time. So it's all... my plan is working. It's all coming together as if I actually planned this to work. Anyway, so this is off of a 1989 album, intriguingly titled Inside the Kremlin. Fun fact, he did spend some time in Russia. Interesting. He's an interesting person to Google should you like reading Wikipedia bios. I would recommend it. It is time for us to take our first break of the day already. Please do stay tuned, though. I have a couple more songs to play for you. In fact, I have three. And after that, I will be telling you all about what ties them all together, and I can't wait to get into it. You are listening to Five Songs With right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Welcome back to Five Songs With right here on CJLO 1690 AM, broadcasting to you from wintry Montreal. Our third song of the day is coming right up, and I'm sure you'll recognize it. It's a piece called Roxy's Suite by Danny Elfman. as I said, a super recognizable piece from an equally recognizable film composer. This is a suite from the 2002 movie adaptation of the iconic musical Chicago, composed by Danny Elfman. Elfman, who rose to fame as the singer-songwriter for the new wave band Oingo Boingo. Also, really, I just love that band name. It's so fun to say. He has a great number of iconic movie music motifs under his belt, from Edward Scissorhands to The Corpse Bride to the Men in Black franchise and many, many, many more. We know him often, I think, for working with Tim Burton extensively, and that is true, but he has also gone beyond the Burton. He has won awards and accolades ranging from Emmys to Oscar nominations for his work, and he composes for stage and screen. Song number four now. It's a little turnaround genre-wise. This is Robert Randall from the Family Band doing Ain't Nothing Wrong With That. Robert Randolph is famed as a virtuoso pedal guitar player. He started his musical career crafting spiritual music and then moved to more secular tunes. His work with the Family Band, who are his backing band, blends blues, gospel, and classic rock tonalities. He's won a loyal following within the blues rock and jam band fan communities and is known as a stellar live performer. Also, try and say jam band fan five times fast. It's hard. The consonants really got me there. This is a track that was featured on the soundtrack to the 2007 film Stomp the Yard, but it initially came out in 2006 on his album Colorblind. And we are on our last song of the day, and we are hopping genres, hopping countries, hopping around in general. We're going to listen to Reel Around the Sun by Bill Whelan.
Thank you.
Bill Whelan, originally from Limerick, Ireland, is a composer and producer who's worked with the likes of U2. He is perhaps best known forever. However, is what I intended to say. He is perhaps best known, however, for composing a 7-minute piece for the interval of the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest. And not even a song for the contest, for the interval. The song was called Riverdance. It featured a display of Irish step dancing and, as we all know, spawned a massive full-length stage production that has been touring the world to great success ever since. This is a track from the Riverdance soundtrack. It's actually a 2019 recording celebrating the 25th anniversary of Riverdance's conception. And those are our five songs for the week. I wonder if you know what I'm getting at. I'm very excited to tell you about it today. I have many interesting things to say, and I hope they send you on an internet spiral after the hour is up. We're going to take a quick break right here, but please do stay tuned, because when I return, I will be telling you why I chose these five songs and what they mean to me and to history. Please keep on listening to Five Songs With right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Welcome back to Five Songs With right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Hope everybody is safe and cozy in their homes, maybe with a caffeinated beverage or three if you're me. It's time to learn. So in the top of the hour, we listen to everything from Spanish music to Indian music to Irish music to American music. A whole range of things happening, but they are all connected by one particular thing that I want to talk about, and I'm really excited to talk about it because I have some personal experience with this theme today. Actually, a lot of personal experience with this theme, and you're going to hear more about it as we go. Today's connecting theme is percussive dance. Now, what do I mean by that? So percussive dance is a term that I'm using and that some people also use to describe a very wide umbrella of dances. People call them other things as well, but I think that's the clearest defining name for this kind of dance. Basically, there are dances that are characterized by using the body as percussion to mark rhythm, to make loud noises. Percussive dances exist all over the world. There is a rich history of percussive dance coming out of Asia, Africa. There's European traditions, and then America, of course, spawned a whole new revitalization of these older forms of dance and gave birth to new kinds of dance. It's really fun. It's very exciting to watch. It's quite rhythmically complex and demanding on the part of the dancer. And often there's an interplay between dancer and music with percussive dance that is more intimate, seeing as the dancer is a part of the music themselves. We're going to talk about five different styles of percussive dance today. There are more than five, so you could definitely find more. And the great thing about it is they're super exciting to watch on YouTube. So if you're looking for things to get into, maybe you could pick one of these genres and go on a little research adventure after this show. Why not, right? Get educated. Maybe learn a new percussive dance, only if you don't live in an apartment, though, because they are not apartment friendly. Let's get started. The first song we listened to today was Soleares from the Lutes de Luz Ensemble. I'm going to say ensemble this time because I messed myself up the first time. Let's listen to a little bit of what that sounded like. So I picked this song because it's off of an album that is representative of traditional flamenco musical styling. It's a whole album of flamenco music, and it shows a lot of different movements and moods that are common in traditional flamenco dancing and music performance. So I thought it would be an interesting sort of example of a more traditionalized form. Flamenco is quite expansive at this point and takes many forms and has several definitions as well. So I wanted to go with something a little more traditional just to get us started. So flamenco is not just a dance. I think for a lot of people, if you don't know too much about it, you might just associate it with the dance, and the dance is a big part of it, but it's not just a dance. It is an art form based on folkloric music traditions, traditionally based on the folkloric music traditions of Andalusia in southern Spain, Andalusia and Murcia. It's definitely expanded now. In a wider sense, it refers to a variety of Spanish musical styles. It dates back to about the 1700s in recorded history and has been growing ever since. And there are distinct factors that make flamenco what it is. But the actual origins of flamenco are much more hotly debated. Commonly held belief is that it grew out of a cultural exchange that was taking place during the Umayyad period in southern Spain, which was taking place sort of from the years 711 to 788. And it was a blend of people's culture from Andalusia, the Romani people, Castilians, some Jewish communities, and the Islamic influence that was happening at that time as well. This is really interesting. I mention it because it's going to come up again in a minute with another dance form we're going to talk about that I think there's some argument that they're tied together, and it's very cool. But yes, flamenco is been declared one of the masterpieces of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity by UNESCO. So you know that's a big deal. There are a bunch of different flamenco styles, a huge list. They are classified by rhythmic pattern, mode, chord progression, the form of the stanzas of the sung words, and geographic origin. There are over 50 different genres like that. And as flamenco is made up of music, hand claps called palmas, and also the dance and singing, there's quite a variety of things that can take place in there. The dance itself is characterized by percussive movements, hand claps, foot taps, and then also very expressive facial expressions and arm moves. It's known for its emotional intensity. There are many different styles, of course. It is danced informally at celebrations, and it's also got more of like a studio-esque technique at this point. And the influence, as with many of these percussive dances, as you'll find, the influence is on narrativity, on telling a story. It's very beautiful. If you've never seen flamenco performed, I would recommend looking it up. It's gorgeous. It's very intense. It transmits a depth of feeling that is really, really cool and unique. We should move on to the next one because I'm going to ramble for 1,000 years otherwise. Our next dance form, our next song we listened to was Tarana from Ravi Shankar, and here's another clip of how that one sounded. So I chose this song because it's a very popular song. I mean, I've known it for quite some time. It's a beautiful piece, for one. It's very recognizable. It's catchy. And it's beloved. It's been beloved for years. And it's particularly popular in certain Indian dance communities. I chose this song because it is a very popular song to be danced to if you are doing the dance style known as Kathak, which is a dance style that I do. So here we are with the personal admittance of the day. I have been dancing Kathak for some time. I love it. I'm going to tell you all about it right now. But I have danced to this song, so I thought it would be a nice little personal tie-in. I have very fond memories of that. So Kathak is one of the 8 major forms of Indian classical dance. There are 8. The origin is attributed traditionally to traveling bards of ancient northern India who are known as Kathakars, or storytellers. It's derived from a Sanskrit word, katha, which means story, And Kathakar means the one who tells a story, which is exactly, you know, sort of a direct translation of what I just said. Hey, you know. So it is a dance form that incorporates a great amount of storytelling and theatricality into the dance. And like flamenco, Kathak is deeply tied to music, to singing, recitation, and then also to dance performance. And also like flamenco, it is characterized by rhythmic tapping of the feet on the floor. In Kathak, you don't wear shoes, though, which you do in flamenco. But it's characterized by tapping or slapping the feet on the floor to make a rhythmic percussive noise, marking the rhythm with the feet, and then making very expressive movements with other parts of the body, particularly in the facial expressions as well. There is some belief that perhaps Kathak, in fact, is an ancestor of flamenco that was carried over to Spain by either by traveling nomadic groups who were coming from India across to Europe, or perhaps it was carried as part of the cultural exchange that was taking place during that Umayyad period in Spain. This is not like a totally set in stone given history of the dances. It's obviously dance-like music is very fluid and it's hard to track origin, but I always loved that idea. I think that's so interesting, and it really ties together so much history through dance, which I think is really beautiful. So Kathak, much like flamenco, has different forms, but unlike the variety that flamenco has with over 50, Kathak has three distinct gharanas known as forms or schools of dance, and they're named after the cities where the Kathak dance tradition evolved. So there's a Jaipur one, a Banaras one, and a Lucknow one, and each one has different stylings. They are the same dance, but they have different focuses. Some focus more on foot movements, some focus more on facial expressions and hand movements, but all of them are taking an emphasis on rhythmic foot movements. You wear strings of small bells around the ankles when you dance Kathak to further accentuate the percussive nature of your foot movements. And there's a great variety of things that you can do with those bells. I personally would love to have more control over them when I dance because it's quite challenging. It has survived and thrived as a performance art as an oral tradition, which is very interesting. Kathak has been taught and innovated from one generation to another verbally and through practice. So there's not very much written syllabus. There might be one or two examples of written Kathak syllabus, but they're largely passed down orally. It has transitioned and adapted over the history of India, taking flavor from the time when the Mughal courts were in power, taking a bit of Islamic influence from that, drawing from older history where it was a temple or more of a devotional dance. So taking some examples of Hindu mythology into the dance, and surviving even though it was declined and ridiculed and suppressed during the colonial British rule. It came back as India gained independence and now is danced all over the world, including right here in Montreal. Kathak is a very visually beautiful dance that alternates between extremely fast movements and then very slow, graceful movements, and particularly arriving on the beat. It's very, very predicated on rhythmic cycles like all of these percussive dances are. It's gorgeous to watch. It's very theatrical, and it will give you a whole new taste of dance styling and musical styling and how they can relate and interact. So it's a fun thing to look into. This is a great popular example. If you search this song on YouTube, you will find examples of Kathak dancing being done to it. We have to take an ad break right now, but please stay tuned. You're listening to Five Songs With right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Now it's time for our third dance of the day. I chose this one to kind of throw you, admittedly, I chose this one to throw you for a loop. I wanted to be tricky. So I picked something that may not be quite as recognizable for the style, but it is very popular. I want to talk about tap dancing, which is a dance I'm sure we all know, characterized by using the sounds of tap shoes striking the floor as a form of percussion. These are shoes that have a metal, what's called a tap, on the heel and the toe. There are a bunch of different variations on tap dance, including rhythm tap or jazz tap, classical tap, Broadway tap, postmodern tap. I wanted to talk about Broadway Tap for this little section because it's quite cool. It focuses on formations, choreography, and generally less complex rhythms, which is widely performed in musical theater. And I also did admittedly choose this one because other forms of tap are very diverse. You can tap on a ton of different kinds of music, and it was hard to find something that was quite as definable as like a tap dancing song outside of the Broadway echelon. But tapping can be done to a variety of things, and the amount of complexity that you can get from tap dancing is truly amazing. I always wish that I had taken tap dancing instead of ballet as a child, but I was stubborn and I wanted to be a ballerina, and I'm sad because I think I would have had more fun as a tapper. Oh well. It is rooted in the fusion of several ethnic percussive dances from various African countries, including a particular dance called Juba dance. It's also a blend of English clog dancing, which is another cool thing to look into, and Irish jigs. The contribution of different traditions, it's not widely agreed upon what is the biggest contributing factor to what modern tap dancing is. Some people believe that it was begun in the mid-1800s, during that theatrical period. Tap dance became increasingly popular later as a vaudeville stage aspect, which is probably where the Broadway history comes in. It was largely performed as duets, and it was largely performed by Black Americans at this time. So there is a lot of a tradition within Black American communities within tap dancing and with other things. We're going to talk in a second about another dance that comes from, has roots in the Black American community, and it's really, really cool. So I'm going to get into it in a sec. Do not worry. Tap dance blended throughout the 1900s with other dance styles, for example, Lindy Hop or Swing. It sort of had an affect on other jazz dances that were arriving at the time. It basically played with other popular dances that arose over the years, and it still is very open to interplay. Tap dance, in my experience, is amazing for fusion and blending with other styles. I have seen tap dance duets performed with a variety of other percussive dancers, tap versus flamenco, tap versus Kathak, and it works really well and is super cool every time. It's a great dance. The community seems to be very, very accessible. So if you did want to learn tap dancing as an adult, you would be able to have a wonderful time, I think. I have two more things to talk to you about, and I put them at the end on purpose because the last two percussive dance forms I'm going to tell you about are both sort of sub-varieties of what is called step dance. That's the generic term for dance styles in which the footwork is the most important part of the dance. So, I mean, all of the dances today are footwork forward, but step dancing in particular implies that limb movements and styling would be restricted or irrelevant. They're really not as important. And I feel like with Kathak and flamenco, the other limb movements are incredibly important. There is just also a lot of percussive feet happening. So I didn't want to include those under that umbrella. Anyway, we have two forms of step dance. Step dance includes, as I mentioned again, this clog dancing. I'm not going to get into clog dancing today, but you should look at it. There's also some sort of more Acadian or Canadian dance styles as well. You might want to look into gumboot. I'm just giving you lots of things to look up on YouTube to spend your time. So let's get into the first one today. The song that we listened to, as I mentioned, from Robert Randolph is from the soundtrack from the film Stomp the Yard. I said this because it was a hint. I know I don't usually give hints, so when I do give hints, they don't really fly, but I felt like giving a hint. Stomp the Yard was a 2007 film that the plot revolved around what is called stepping. Stepping is what we're going to talk about right now. It's a form of percussive dance in which the participant's entire body is used as an instrument to produce complex rhythms and sounds. So it's footsteps, hand claps, and spoken word. It might be performed by an individual, but it's mostly performed by groups of three or more, often in arrangements that resemble military formations. Sometimes it also draws from tap dance, breakdance, gymnastics, march, or African or Caribbean dance. Sometimes it includes stunts. It's a whole thing. It's all about the showmanship and the performance. It's really high energy, and it's really, really cool. Some people include props in their stepping, like canes, rhythm sticks, or blindfolds, or fire, which is really crazy. It's rooted within the competitive schoolyard song and dance rituals and competitions that are practiced by frats and sororities, traditionally African-American frats and sororities, which began in the 1900s. The history of Black Greek life is really interesting, very American, because I think we don't have the same relation to frats and sororities in Canada, really, as we see in America. But the history is cool, and a lot of these Black frats and sororities historically developed forms of self-expression for themselves and developed internal dialogues and cultural gatherings within themselves, and stepping came out of that. It originally drew heavily from stage routines and the movements of popular R&B groups like the Temptations and the Four Tops. And then it sort of grew and developed into its own. Traditionally, U.S. colleges do have a history of song and chant to celebrate crossing over into membership of a frat. And it is also performed in other communities where you need that like idea of membership and collectivity, churches, cheerleading squads, drill teams, like other non-collegial schools, a whole thing. It's very popular. It's become so much of a community that there are like rivalries within the stepping community with different frats. There are custom movements and signature moves that are practiced and performed by certain frats, so they have their own signatures. In fact, Stomp the Yard inspired threats of a boycott when it came out for using moves that were the trademark of certain frats and not crediting the creator of the move or the frat itself. It is that much of an ingrained cultural history, and it's very, very interesting. I personally had never seen a lot of stepping before I started looking into it recently, because it's just, I don't think it's practiced too much in the circles that I move in, but it's really cool to watch. It's super fun. You definitely see the history of like military formation. You see percussive dance. I see resemblance even sometimes to the Maori, the Haka chants. It's interesting. It's I mean, there's a lot of similarities whenever you look at percussive chants and movements that are designed to inspire people and get them energized and inspire a sense of collectivity. There are similar things that cultures around the world do to express that. And because of the amount of globalization and blending we have now, they all kind of come together and form these new things that are mixed out of a vast range of experiences. And the result is something really, really interesting. All right, our last one of the day. I think this is the most guessable song, probably. This one would have been the genre giveaway if any of them were, because it's Riverdance. What is River? Obviously, we knew what Riverdance is, right? Anyway, I'm going to play you a clip of it. Yay, Riverdance. So I grew up playing the flute and Irish whistle, and as such played a lot of Irish music, and so I have a bit of a soft spot for Riverdance, I must say. It's just fun to play. It's just fun. And it is a worldwide sensation, captured the hearts and imaginations of many a nation from the 90s forward, obviously, since it's such a hugely successful production. And it showcases Irish music and Irish step dance, which is rooted in traditional Irish dance, characterized, of course, by a stiff upper body and quick and precise movements of the feet. It's performed solo or in groups, and is very visually exciting to watch in groups. There are step dance competitions all over the world. I'm sure we've seen them. They're highly visible, from the costumes, the hair pieces, to the shoes. There are two styles of shoes worn in Irish step dance: hard shoes, which make those tap shoe sounds. That's the percussive part of this dance. But they also sometimes wear soft shoes to perform. They're called gillies, and they're similar to ballet slippers. And the dances for soft shoe and hard shoe are different and go by different names. So, of course, if we're talking about percussive dances, we're talking about hard shoes. They are known as heavy shoes or jig shoes. And they have a toe piece, sort of like a tap, which lets you produce rhythmic shoes. The dances for these shoes require more of a focus on the feet and more precise footwork to make those percussive sounds really shine through. They're designed, those shoes are designed so that dancers can achieve elevation in their steps. They can leap and jump, and it allows entirely new movements to be incorporated into dances. Thanks to the hard shoe, Irish dance actually incorporates point work, much like ballet, where they can dance on the very tip of the toe piece, which is really, really interesting. As a visually exciting and emotionally involving dance form, Irish dancing has definitely become a very popular and well-attended event whenever it's being performed. You see it obviously around St. Patrick's Day in any place where there's an Irish population. And of course, thanks to Riverdance and the following, Lord of the Dance, featuring, of course, Michael Flatley, it's become a very well-known household sort of name for step dance. I think Irish dancing is probably one of the best recognized forms of step dance, and the one that people think of when you say the word step dance. And it continues to be popular. Riverdance is available. A lot of it is available on YouTube. You can watch a lot of clips, and it's really fun. If you're looking for something just distracting and escapist, and you like Irish music and you like percussive dance, that might be the one for you. That's the end of our hour today already. It always flies by when I'm with you, even if I'm in my home studio. I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. We are 1 hour older and 5 songs wiser. And if you were looking for something to Google, I hope I gave you a little something to look into. I'm going to leave you with 2 more songs that I liked that are percussive dance inspired. I have 1 more song from the soundtrack from Stomp the Yard, and I also have 1 more song from Riverdance. So it's going to be a bit of a whiplashy experience, but I hope you like it. And again, thank you so much for participating with me in this social distancing that we're all taking part in. It's hard to be away from your friends and your family and the people that you love, but by doing so, we are hopefully helping protect our vulnerable people and take care of each other. And the best thing you can do right now, I think, to show people that you love them is to practice social distancing. So thank you for writing it out. We are all going to write it out together. Please stay listening to CJLO 1690 AM for more content. We are working hard to make sure that we get shows out to you so you have that connection with us during this time, because we love you and we definitely want to talk to you, even if we can't be in the studio. If you liked this show, please tune in to the next episode of 5 Songs With, which will be next Tuesday at 3 p.m. EST, right here on CJLO 1690 AM. And until then, have a good week. Bye-bye.
Toot that thing up, mommy, make it roll. Once you pop, pop, lock it for me, girl, get low. If your mama gave it to your baby girl, let it show. Once you pop, pop, drop it for me, maybe we can roll. Oh! Tonight is gonna be some changes, no acting sedated, so stop acting and get it clapping, cause I'm knowing you feel me. Yeah, you cute, but don't let that shit go to your head, cause what this cutie won't do, pimping another one will. You prefer rocking the suit, and your heels so tall, and we ain't with none of that tricking, but I feel so tall.